According to our next guest, one reason New Year's resolution success is so elusive is because more than 95% of self-help books are not based on scientific research. Renowned psychologist John Norcross is the leading authority on behavior change. Backed by 30 years of clinical research, his new book, Changeology, Five Steps to Realizing Your Goals and Resolutions, reveals a plan that can be executed in 90 days, and its methods can be applied to any behavior you might want to change. John Norcross, it's a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
You're most welcome.
Thank you very much. So what got you interested in us as when it comes to change and what our capacity is for change?
Well, I'm one of those inveterate optimists. So throughout my graduate training, we began investigating how people could change on their own. You know, if someone came from Mars or another planet and said, well, how do people actually change? They would probably be very disappointed by most of our answers because we rarely look at how people have been successful by themselves. So my mentors at Rutgers in Rhode Island and we started out by looking at how successful people do it on their own.
Well, first of all, how do you define successful?
Well, it depends upon the study and the behavior. For smoking, we always are asking for self-report, but frequently we're even going to take a physiological measure because people tend to cheat a little when it comes to reporting their success. So it's both their self-report and then usually some sort of collaborative physiological measure, such as weight or something like that.
Because you ultimately have to look at it in a long term, because if someone can give up smoking for 5 years or even 10 years, and then have a lapse, then the same thing with diet and exercise, I assume.
Well, they can, but thankfully, once you get past 90 days, the chances decrease dramatically. But it is true, you'll find someone who's not been smoking for 4 years to have an anxious time or a very sad moment in their life, and they may go ahead and slip. So you do have to follow it up over time. But it's realistic for most people, if they get to the 90-day period and they can maintain the change, then we're fairly confident they're going to make it.
Why 90 days? Why is that significant?
Because that's what behavioral research and neuroscience tells us. That's how long it takes to establish and maintain change. It becomes literally a habit. A regular routine that you can trust in. So it's no longer a problem you're struggling with. It's literally a new lifestyle.
And it takes that long to figure it out where it's not done consciously. It's done unconsciously or subconsciously where you are not even thinking that you're not doing it or you are doing the new thing that has made your life better in some way.
Exactly right. You wake up on some blessed day, as the great American psychologist William James and writer said, when it's no longer, oh, I have to do this. It just literally becomes part of your habit. So as an example, probably 7 or 8 years ago, I was told I really need to be flossing more often. Well, the first month, I had to remind myself, put the floss out in front of me. For the last 5 years, though, now, it just literally is something I do every day.
At some point, you have to figure out that you're ready to do it. And what should go into that process of getting yourself, of preparing, of saying, okay, I know I need to do this, but I'll figure out when is the time?
Well, I'm glad you bring that up, because, in fact, in our recent Harris Interactive poll of some 3,000 adults, everyone tells us the two toughest steps to change are the beginning step, the psych, the motivated, and then the other end on, of course, keeping it. So it's sort of the bookends of the change process. And as you say, that's all about getting motivated, committed, is this a good time? As we say around here, we're very enthusiastic about resolutions if someone's ready, because there are advantages for New Year's. If you have an action plan, if you thought this is something you deeply care to change, if you have a support team in place, and if you can go public. If all those things begin to converge, then it makes perfect sense. But simply changing because, or trying to change because the calendar happens to flip is not very sophisticated self-change.
But there is a point where you actually have to set goals and say, okay, these are going to be my new priorities.
That's right. And we use the SMART acronym that they use in business. That is, goals should be specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-specific. And we believe the 90 days is realistic. Now, I know many of your listeners are saying, geez, 90 days. Well, we need to be somewhat realistic about this. I know there's some self-help books out there promising overnight, do it in 1 week. There's just not good science that suggests that. And by the way, we would be more realistic if we thought about taking these self-changes as we did anything else. If you wanted to learn calculus, to play the piano, hit a better backhand, balance your checkbook, you would know it would take more than one or two chances, and you're likely to slip. So it does begin with a dose of realism. It's going to take some time and some effort, but fortunately, if you follow the proven science of change, you don't have to learn from painful trial and error.
It does seem, though, it's an ongoing process, that even once that behavior is changed, as you say, it is the bookends. It's not only the beginning, but it is the end of maintaining what it is that you are doing, whether it be in the first month, the second month, or even the eighth or ninth month. It would still seem to me that it's something that you have to be somewhat mindful of.
Not only mindful, but using the skills that we know make the difference between the unsuccessful and the successful resolvers. So here we are into January, and we know the successful people are doing some things that will make a difference. For example, they're keeping their motivation high by using what we call the double source of motivation. You know, some folks only look at their negative past behavior and they sort of get disgusted by it, while other people only look to the bright future. Well, if we can harness both of those sources of motivation, looking both at the bad past and the glorious future, you're more likely to do that. You can also start rewarding yourself. And I know many people say, well, I'll just cheat if I do that. So what we've been recommending the last couple years is to use grandma's rule. First you work, then you play. When you come home, if you haven't done your resolution, whatever that might be, then please don't reward yourself by watching television or relaxing until you get back on track. And for those people who say, well, I can't do it myself, then that's when you can do some contracting with other people who can help you in your support team. That makes all the difference.
Say 6 week in, you have a slip. You talk about the importance of ultimately forgiving yourself and moving on pretty quickly.
You bet. In fact, in two of our studies, self-blame was the single best predictor of who gave up their resolution early. Because once you begin to self-blame, you say, I can't do it. You get demoralized, apathetic. It turns into wishful thinking rather than continuing on the action plan. And in fact, it's a thinking error. In our last study, 71% of successful resolvers say their first slip actually helped them. Now, we were floored by that, so we followed up and said, well, how did it help? And they said it rekindled their commitment. Sure, it made them feel somewhat human about the process, but it was time to get back up on the horse, as the old saw goes. So we do know how to prevent slips. By avoiding high-risk triggers, learning to say no. In the Changeology book, we talk about slip busters, how to deal with these minor urges. Science shows us the way. People can learn how to do this rather than simply blaming them.
You know, I asked this question because years ago on this show, we had somebody on, and I was doing a segment on New Year's resolutions, and someone had written a book, and they were talking about change and all of this stuff, and they said, you know, whether it be quitting smoking or whether it be dieting or whether it be kicking a heroin habit, and I thought to myself, oh my God, you know, I wouldn't think of those things in the same. I mean, there is a severity to habits here, right? I mean, we can't say, okay, guarantee 90 days, you know, for there's a difference of what we're talking about, isn't there?
You bet. And in fact, in Changeology, right in the first chapter, I say anyone promising you new miracles or unlimited happiness is just not being honest with you. And in the very next paragraph, we then talk about people who should not be using our books. So someone who looks at self-help and self-change, one of the criteria for something you can trust is not only author's credentials and has there been research on it, but do they tell you specifically what are the contraindications? Who should not be using this book? And someone with an opiate addiction should not be using a self-change book alone.
The name of Dr. Norcross's book is Changeology, 5 Steps to Realizing Your Goal and Resolutions. Dr. Norcross is a professor of psychology and distinguished university fellow at the University of Scranton, adjunct professor of psychiatry at SUNY Upstate Medical College, and a board-certified clinical psychologist in part-time practice. Again, the name of the book, Changeology, 5 Steps to Realizing Your Goals and Resolutions. The book is published by Simon & Schuster. Dr. John Norcross, thank you very much for being with us. It's a great pleasure.
Thank you. I enjoyed it, and best wishes to all your listeners for a glorious 2013.
Happy New Year to you as well. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.